In Netivot Shalom and Parshat Vayera, the concept is Olam Chesed Yibane. The world is built through kindness. And we'll dedicate our learning tonight to Liora Bat Eida. Hashem should bless her, and she should find her Zivug swiftly and painlessly. Vayomar Abraham said, Hashem, imna matzati chen v'einecha, al na tavor ma'alavdecha. He said to these Arabs, he says to them, my masters, please, if I find favor in your eyes, do not pass upon your servant. And Rashi quotes the discussion in the Talmud, in Shavuos, where the Gemara discusses when he said, my master, please do not pass upon your servant. Who was he talking to? One opinion says he was talking to God. That he asked God to wait. He was in the middle of a conversation with God, and he asked God to wait till he brings in the guests. And from here our sages derive that taking in guests is even greater than taking, so to speak, in God, than having the Shechina's presence. So he says, wait a second, we have to understand that. How could that be? הרי קבלת פני השכינה היא המדרגה הגדולה ביותר שישנה. The greatest level is when a person has God's presence settled upon him. ומה שייך שהכנסת אורחים גדולה מזה? So how could it be that taking guests into your home is greater than having God settled down on a person, than the Shechina's presence? ובפרט שאברהם מינו לא ידע כלל מי הם האורחים העומדים לפניו. And especially when you think about the fact that Avram had no clue who these Arabs were. He didn't know they were angels. וגם אם נמדה הכוונה היא דקשומדת לפניו בית המצוות הכנסת אורחים וקבלת פני השכינה. And even if you'll say that what our sages meant is that when one is faced with these two mitzvos, either taking in guests or greeting the Shechina's presence, צריך להקדים הכנסת אורחים, then taking in the human guests would take precedence. קשה, that's still difficult. הרי כאן היה אברהם אבינו כבר עסוק בקבלת פני השכינה. This isn't a situation where he's faced with two mitzvahs he has to choose, but rather he was in the middle of one mitzvah. He was in the middle of greeting God, who was entering his tent, so to speak, and he paused in the midst of that mitzvah to go and greet the Arab guests. And even though he was in the middle of having God's presence in his tent, he said to God, "Al na tavor ma'alavdecha, God, please let's put this on pause. Sheyamtin lo ad sheyachnis tochim. Please wait. Give me a minute to take in the guests." Vupele, and that seems unusual. It seems wondersome. Ech amal davar kaze shehakadosh baruch hu yamtin lo. How does he say to God, "God, give me a minute"? How does he do such a thing? Umeichan yadazot Avram avinu beatzmo. And furthermore, we have to question, "Hey Avram, how did he know that? How did he know that that was the right set of values, that the guests should come first, that taking in guests is greater than speaking to the Shechina, than accepting the Shechina's presence?" So he asked three questions. He said, number one, how could it be that taking in guests is greater? The greatest level is having the Shechina's presence. Number two, is even if you'd say that when you're approached with these two mitzvahs, that one should take precedence, he was really in the middle of one. He was in the middle of speaking to the Shechina when he said to God, pause. And number three is, how could he tell God to pause, and how did he know this, that accepting guests should take precedence? Ken yesh levaer, and we also have to explain ma she'amar kadosh baruch hu l'Avram kasho tzivahu al hamila. We have to understand the idea that last week's parsha concluded with, when God commanded Avram to circumcise, he said to him, "Hitalech lefanai ve'yetemim. I want you to walk before me and be whole." Klomar she'achar kol hagadlut shel Avram avinu v'chol haromemut shelo. Meaning, God was telling him, as great as you are, as exalted as you are, adayin chasara lo hamadriga shel hitalech lefanai ve'yetemim. He's still missing one level, and that is to walk before God and be whole. Vizetema, and that seems wondersome. Sharei kvar etzel Noach matzinu shneemar bo ish tzadik tamim et ha'elokim italech Noach. Noach is called complete. Noach is called that he walked with God, and he wasn't yet circumcised. Shayu lo et beda madrigot tzadik tamim. He is called both a whole tzadik and ve'et ha'elokim italech, and he's called the tzadik who walked with God. So how did Noach reach that level? And Avram, in spite of all of his tests, he didn't reach that level. Noach wasn't circumcised. Hagam shelomah letatzmo. Uviyotel yikshel adorshim nignai. And this is even more difficult according to those that say Noach wasn't the greatest person around. That what the verse means to say is, bedorotav yatzadik, that Noach was only special in his generation of sinners. Avli lo haya bedorosh shel Avram lo haya nechshav leklum. But next to Avram, Noach wouldn't have amounted to anything. Well, if that's so, umah shayach lomar lo haya nechshav leklum, how could you say he wouldn't have amounted to anything? B'sha'a she'otam ha'madrigot she'Avram avinu eleim rak la'achar ha'mila, when we see that the level Avram could only attain post-circumcision, kvar nemru b'Noach, is attributed to Noach at that same point. How could you say Noach wouldn't have amounted to anything? We see Noach already was called whole, he was called walking with God. Avram avinu, at age 86, God tells him, I want you to walk before me. I want you to circumcise. I'm sorry, at age 99. I want you to circumcise. I want you to be whole and walk before me. Ken tzarich biur, and we also have to explain, ma'di'ita sh'olam ha'tikun etchil ma'avram avinu. What we're taught, that Avram avinu started the fixing of the world. Harei kvar mikodem haya Noach ish tzadik tamim ve'et ha'elokim mitalech. We already had Noach, who was a whole tzadik and walked with God. U'mado lo etchil olam ha'tikun mimenu ad sheba Avram. Why don't we say that Noach started fixing the world? Why is it only Avram who's attributed with fixing the world? V'chen tzarich biur, we also have to explain, מה שסדר הספירות הוא חסד וגבורה, מקודם חסד מידת אהבה, ואחר כך מידת הגבורה והעירה. How come when we speak about the Kabbalistic concepts of numbers, we say that kindness that stems from love comes before might, which is awe. וצריך ביור לפי מדית הבזוהר הקדוש, תפקוד הקדמה, דה עירת השם, שנאמר ראשית חוכמה עירת השם, ורק אחר כך היא אהבה. And the Zohar seems to say that one is commanded to first fear and have awe, and only afterwards evolve to love. So all these questions he's going to answer now in one thought. And he says, V'yesh leve'er ha'inyan. So we have to explain, we can explain the idea as follows. D'inei tachlit b'riyat ha'olam imidat ahava. The essence of the world's creation is for love. Think about it. The whole point of creation is for the concept of love. כמאמר הכתוב, כי אמרתי עולם חסד יבנה. As the verse says, God says, I created the world for the sake of kindness. That you human beings, among one another, you do kindness one unto the other. Let's see, that's what the world stands on. But what is the essence of the world? To what end? כל סדר בריאת העולם וקיומו במשך הדורות, the whole creation and existence of the world throughout the generations, ועל ידי מידת אהבה. Is through the trait of love. God could have made the whole world revolve around the concept of fear, awe. God wanted the world to revolve around love. That is the basic principle, the foundation of the world. ולכן אמר רבי עקיבא הנצוי רבי עקיבא תורס ואהבת לרעך כמוך זה כלל גדול בתורה. You want to know the one rule that encompasses all of Torah? Love your friend like yourself. Love. ואהבת לרעך כמוך. היינו שזהו היסוד לכל התורה. This is the foundation of the Torah מפני שמידת אהבה היא תכלית רצונו יתברך. Because that is the essence of God's will. וכן מצינו שאמרו חז"ל and our sages taught בית ראשון חרב על עבודה זרה גילו הראיות בשפיכות דמים. Why was the first temple destroyed? There was idol worship, adultery, and murder. Shen averot hachamurot biyoter b'Torah. Those are the most heinous crimes in the Torah. One must give up their life rather than transgress these sins. And yet when it comes to the second temple, our sages say, Ubayit sheni charav al sinat chinam. There was one sin that caused the destruction of the second temple. Not adultery, not idol worship, not murder. That wasn't the issue in the second temple. But rather, that there was pointless hatred between people. שלכאורה אינו מובן. At first glance, yeah, it doesn't seem like it works. What does that mean? הרי שנאת חינם אינה אלא love. There's one prohibition in the Torah that says, לא תשנאת אחיך בלבביך. Don't hate your brother in your heart. That's all it says in the Torah. How could you equate that with such heinous crimes? ואיך זה שבעטייה נקרם כל חורבן של בית שני? How could it be that this one sin causes the whole second temple to be destroyed? And if you think about it, it's been אלפי השנים שישראל סובלים כבר בגלות. Thousands of years we're suffering in the diaspora, and it all starts with this one sin, which the Torah only says a prohibition. Don't hate your brother in your heart. אלא מפני ששנאת חינם היא בניגוד לתכלית הבריאה, but the idea runs much deeper. When there is pointless hatred among people, then all of creation has come to a standstill. God says that's against the whole point of creation. ומערערת את יסוד קיום העולם, and the foundations of the world start to tremble, המושתת על מידת אהבה, because the world's foundation is love. When you have pointless hatred, that's in contradiction with the whole existence of the world. כי אמרתי עולם חסד ייבנה. God says, I created the world for the sake of kindness. וכי אגב נמצאים בתורה כמה עניינים. We find a few concepts in the Torah שאומנם לא נתפרשו בהם עונשים כה חמורים, that sometimes you have prohibitions in the Torah where the Torah does not punish with the most weighty punishment, אבל הפגם שלהם הוא היום ונורא. And yet, these sins can have tremendous impact. ומהם הוא עניין זה של מחלוקת רחמנה ליצלן. One good example for this is the idea of מחלוקס. You'll find people are quick to join an argument, to take sides. And the true sages always ran away from מחלוקס. Sometimes it was inevitable. But wherever rabbis can, they run away from מחלוקס. They run away from it like wildfire. I was in a shul once where they did something which... I had a proof from a halachic source that it should be done differently. So after davening, I started talking to the rabbi. We got friendly. And then I asked him, I said, you know, the shul seems to be doing A and B, which it would seem from a certain tshuva and the chassam sofer that I think that maybe it should be done differently. So he smiled and he said to me, you're right. But I'm the second rabbi in this shul. And the first rabbi still prays here. And he instituted that. And I can't hurt his feelings. And even though technically the halacha would support doing this differently, but to do it differently would mean to take all the congregants who see their rabbi every week, the first rabbi, the rabbi who's retired now, and he instituted it this way, and to smack him in the face, to start saying, no, guys, you do it differently. So I think that the halachic weight goes with keeping quiet and not doing something that might in any way show that we're slighting the previous rabbi, that I know better, I'm going to one-up him. So he's the rabbi of the community now. The other one's the retired rabbi. Ever since then, I'm his chassid. Ever since then, I'm his fan. I thought that was a tremendous answer. He's thinking about the peace, about the love. Obviously, we're not talking about a prohibition. We're talking about something slight, something which, if you have two choices, then one is better than the other. And I thought maybe he hadn't considered it. But no, he had considered it, and I think he chose, he doesn't need my approval, but I think he chose correctly. Yes?
Where do you draw the line of that?
So that requires learning, understanding when is something weighty, when is it prohibited, and when is it just a preference. When it comes to a preference, so then we don't do preferences at the expense of people's feelings, or at the risk of machlokas. Yeah? כמו שמצינו בתורה בפרשת קורח, we find in the parasha of Korach כמה גדול וחמור הוא החטא והפגם בזה, למרות שאין זה אלא לאו. It's only a prohibition. You don't get the death penalty for having a fight. And yet, we find that people and their children and everything and our great miracles happen just because of a fight. מפני שזהו בניגוד לתכלית רצון השם ובניגוד לתכלית הבריאה. Because this runs in contradiction with the essence of creation and the will of God. התכלית שברא הקדוש ברוך הוא את העולם. Why did God create this world? שנתאבה הקדוש ברוך הוא להיות לו דירה בתחתונים. God wanted a presence on earth. If God wanted angels, he would have left the world a world of angels. He didn't. He created human beings, meaning he wanted his presence down here. כי אמרתי עולם חסד ייבנה. But God's presence is here when there's peace among us, when there's kindness among us. ומחלוקת היא בניגוד לזה, and when there's arguments that contradicts this. ועל דרך זה מצינו עוד עניינים כאלו שלא נתפרשון שם, אבל הם תכלית הניגוד לרצון השם. And going in line with this, we have other issues, which again, are in essence against the will of Hashem. And I wanted to pause already, because we're running way over time, but this last sentence is a critical sentence. People sometimes underestimate the following prohibition, so we're going to continue another minute just to hear his last point. He says, another point that runs along the same lines, and even though this is a Hasidic work, you should know that halachic authorities agree 100% with what he's writing here. He says, "Kmo mashamu chazan," like what our sages taught, and we've pointed this out many times, that Hasidic works express things from a Kabbalistic and a philosophical perspective. But very often, if you learn, you'll see that the ideas they're representing are found in halachic works, in Rishonim. Our sages taught, "Habo'el haramit kana'im pogim bo." If someone has intimate relations with a non-Jewish woman, so then people who are zealots may strike him. Shenimtza kim kabel al ze onesh mita. Turns out, the guy is getting the death penalty. Namrot shemedin Torah ino chayav mita. Even though technically, the Torah doesn't say he gets a death penalty for it. Mipnei shezem nugad betachlit l'otzon Hashem. Because this is another example where a person is going in direct contradiction with the will of Hashem. This is a point which people sometimes err on. They think, I'm not marrying her, I'm not this, I'm not that. No. There's a reason why the Torah says technically he could get the death penalty. Kedivrei Chazal, as our sages taught, en lechassanui lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu miboel aramit. God hates none as badly as he hates one who is intimate with an aramit, which is a reference to any pagan. V'lachen apgam b'ze kashe mod, and that's why this is so severe. V'chenu b'inyan machloket sharei oseh b'ze neged tachlit otzon Hashem. Obviously, he's not talking about people who don't know anything about Judaism. He's talking about people who know. Obviously, a person who didn't know. Okay, but he's saying these are two examples: the idea of machloket, the idea of boel aramit. These are two concepts that run in direct conflict with the will of Hashem. And we'll continue Bezrat Hashem from here on Wednesday night. We'll finish this work. Okay. We have to take a vote this year.